Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Time for another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. It's going to be a crazy... Well, there was a crazy night, first off, last night. The NBA just never disappoints. The Kyrie Irving deal, which we reported right before we went off the show, was first reported, by the way, by Shams and the Woj, right? Both of them kind of tuned in into this trade. I didn't know if it'd get done last night. It got done like an hour after we got off the air. And now Kyrie Irving is a member of the Boston Celtics. See, that's how the NBA works for blockbuster deals. It's the ones that don't get talked about that just happen. And Kobe Altman, first-year general manager for the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think he did really well. I always feel for a GM whose first job, first item on the job, the first item on the agenda, is to move an individual, an all-star, that is demanding a trade. Because as we talked about with Peter Vesey earlier in the week, I don't care what anyone tells me, you rarely get full value for an all-star when you trade him. Rarely happens. I mean, even the Love Wiggins deal. And I don't think you put Love in the superstar category, but he was an all-star. And without Kevin Love, the Cavaliers do not win an NBA championship. I think we can all agree on that.
Agreed.
You gave up Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins is not an all-star yet. I think Wiggins is going to be a good ball player. I like him. Not an all-star yet. So even looking at that deal, plus they gave up Anthony Bennett, who was terrible. Now, the Timberwolves didn't get fair value. They didn't get full value out of that, at least as it sits right now. So, again, last night, I mean, Kyrie Irving, he wants out. You get Isaiah Thomas. You get Jay Crowder, who is an elite perimeter defender. And we'll talk about this trade in a bit. I'll tell you why LeBron James should be smiling with this deal. As far as defending the pick and roll, switching off of the pick and roll, as far as defense in general, having to guard the opposing team's best player, LeBron doesn't have to do that anymore. Not with Jay Crowder. He doesn't have to do that at all anymore. And while a lot of people think that they are setting up Cleveland, like Kobe Altman has set up Cleveland for LeBron's exit, I think LeBron is now more prone to stay in Cleveland than he was before last night. A lot of people, a lot of pundits, a lot of writers have said, with this particular deal, I think it's proof that LeBron is on his way out. I think the complete opposite, because they're deeper. They've needed a help at the three spot. They've needed massive help there defensively. When you play Golden State, nobody can stop Kevin Durant. You can't. But now when you play Golden State, you put Jay Crowder on Kevin Durant. On the perimeter, that's who you put on Kevin Durant now. You know, LeBron's not going to be gassed over the course of a seven-game set anymore when you go up against a team like Golden State. So we'll talk about this trade a little bit later on. Right off the top of your head, who won the deal?
I think Boston wins the deal because they got the better player, but I like the deal for both teams. And when we talk about it, I think there's a piece there that Cleveland, and there's another team out there trade-wise at the deadline that I think Cleveland could work with.
Well, I think Cleveland can work with a lot of teams trade-wise because...
Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, for the number one pick?
Yep.
It's possible.
Just do it.
You're going to have to make some other moves, though, because of the salary, knowing what Cousins is making, and you have Thompson's bad contract. You have J.R. Smith's bad contract. You'd have to move Kevin Love. You'd still have to do some movement.
And they're going
to
get Wade.
And they're going to get Dwayne Wade, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. As soon as Chicago buys out Dwayne Wade, he's going to be wearing a Cleveland Cavalier uniform. More NBA talk coming up in just a bit. On the show today, we're going to be joined by Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team. They'll dive back into action here on Friday in the home opener against Summit Academy. Myself, alongside Chris Winfrey, will bring you the play-by-play call. Start time for that one is set for 7. Pre-game coverage will begin at 6:30, but Coach Famala is going to join us on the show today. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines around the national sports front. How about the Cleveland Browns? DeShone Kizer, the rookie out of Notre Dame, is more than likely going to be the starter for Hugh Jackson's squad moving into the regular season. And now ESPN's Jeremy Fowler has reported that Cleveland has renewed their attempt to trade Brock Osweiler. Speaking of bad contracts, Brock is guaranteed $16 million this year. He's not going to play this weekend. Hugh Jackson has already said that. Asked whether he would ask for a trade, Osweiler said, "That's something I'm going to stay away from." If you can read between the lines, Brock Osweiler wants to be a starter, and he may be playing for another team here relatively soon. Now, with that being said, I don't know what you get for Brock Osweiler, because nobody wants a $16 million cap hit this year for this guy, who's a backup quarterback.
That's all he is. He's a backup quarterback in this league. He's not very good.
Asked about Osweiler's comments, Sashi Brown said that as far as Hugh Jackson goes, it's his call. And he's going to roll with DeShone Kizer. I'm a big Kizer guy. I was a big Kizer guy when he was at Notre Dame. I was a big Kizer guy. Now, if you listen to the show enough, you know that I'm a Notre Dame fan. But at the same time, DeShone Kizer has all the intangibles, just a little green. And typically when a rookie goes to Cleveland, a rookie quarterback goes to Cleveland, it's a graveyard.
Yes, it is.
But they have Hugh Jackson now. And this is a guy that knows how to mold quarterbacks. He knows how to develop quarterbacks. So I thought it was a great spot for DeShone Kizer. I'm shocked that he fell as far as he did in the draft, but I thought it was a great, great place for him to land. And now it looks like he's going to be the starter day one. I didn't think he'd be a starter for any team day one. I really didn't. But did you watch? Have you watched DeShone Kizer play this preseason yet?
Yes, he's good.
He's been okay, yeah. He's been fine. He's been adequate. If you can move on from Brock Osweiler, now would be the time to do it. Elsewhere, I mean, kind of a slow day as far as the national sports scene goes. Today, we're going to get to college football talk. We were going to talk college football on the show yesterday, but we didn't because of the news of Kyrie Irving breaking. But let's jump over and take a look at the scoreboard for Major League Baseball. A couple of games going on right now. The A's and the Orioles are tied 7-7 in the top of the ninth. This one taking place in Baltimore. Right now, one out. The A's do have a runner on second. Bottom of the seventh, the Brew Crew and the Giants are tied 1-1. The Giants are 40 games back of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Exactly 40 games back.
Eliminated from the playoff contention, mathematically. 40 games back. Before the end of the season, that thing's going to get up to 50. That's how bad the Giants are.
Probably.
And that's how good the Dodgers are.
It has not been a good season for the Giants. And they didn't move Cueto.
Didn't move any other pieces like Samardzija.
Didn't move Kane. Didn't move Samardzija. No. No, so they're...
I think it's hilarious.
Well, yeah, I'm not a Giants guy. Still to come.
That's why it's funny.
Right. Still to come tonight, 5:05, we have the Marlins and the Phillies. Also, the Dodgers will look for their 90th win as they take on the Pirates. The Red Sox travel on the road to meet the Indians. Corey Kluber will be on the mound for the Indians. Drew Pomeranz on the hill for the Red Sox. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, we get the Yankees at the Tigers. The Cubs take on the Reds. The Diamondbacks will meet the Mets. The Blue Jays at the Rays. The Mariners will take on the Braves. All of those games in the 5 o'clock
hour. Bad loss for Seattle last night.
Bad loss for Seattle. We'll take a look at the standings in just a second. Minnesota will battle the White Sox at 6:10. The Nationals are on the road to meet the Nationals and the Astros at 6:10 tonight. Fun series. The Astros right now one up on the Nationals in the win column, one down in the loss column. Edwin Jackson is on the hill tonight for the Nationals. 6:15 start time for the Rockies and the Royals. We get the Padres and the Cardinals. 8 o'clock hour tonight in the nightcap, it's the Rangers and the Angels. So if we take a look at how the standings sit right now, the Boston Red Sox are at the top of the AL East, 4.5 game lead on the New York Yankees, who have 67 wins, 57 losses. Keep that total in mind right now. Cleveland at 69-55, they lead the Central. The Astros at 76-49 lead the West. They still hold an 11.5 game lead despite the fact that they have played 500 baseball over their last 10. Wild card race in the American League. The Yankees, 67-57, hold a 2-game advantage over the Twins and the Angels. And then you have the Twins and the Angels at 65 wins, battling for that final wild card spot. That's the way the AL is sitting right now. But not far off, it's the Mariners, who you mentioned had a bad loss last night, 64-63 right now.
Yeah, for Seattle, you got to go into Atlanta and take care of business. And last night, you can't drop games like that if you want to stay in the hunt. And this happened to Seattle last year. They stayed in the hunt, and then towards the end of August, September, they were losing to bad teams.
I'm telling you, the team to watch in the AL, don't sleep on the Royals.
Yeah, the Royals are right there.
They're 2 games back. Don't sleep on the Royals.
And every time I try to write the Twins off, they're still right there.
Right. National League, the East is all but one right now by the Nationals. They have a 13.5 game lead on the Marlins. The Cubs, a 2.5 game lead on the Brewers, 4.5 up on the Cardinals. The Dodgers up 21 on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, as far as the wild card goes, the Diamondbacks right now would go up against the Rockies. 2 games back, it's the Brewers. 5 games back, it's the Cardinals. Cardinals need to win their division. That's probably their only route to getting into the postseason. I don't know that they catch Arizona or Colorado.
I don't think they do. I think what we see right now in the NL is what we're going to get. I think Arizona's going to host.
I don't think the Rockies make the playoffs. I don't.
You think they fall out?
I do. They've already lost 7 out of their last 10. It's a very Colorado-Rocky thing to do. I don't believe that they made the proper adjustments at the trade deadline.
They
didn't strengthen the rotation. They didn't strengthen the bullpen. And to me, the Rockies are the team that I see on the outside looking in when it's all said and done in the National League. And if not, nobody can convince me otherwise that they would beat Arizona in a one-game set, because I would not pick against Zach Greinke in a one-game playoff. No thanks.
No, and look at that lineup. Jake Lamb, Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, there's too much talent in Arizona up and down that lineup for a Colorado pitcher to maneuver it.
J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona's good.
A pretty good team. They just so happen to be in the same division as the Dodgers. And that's the problem right now with Arizona. We got a break for just a moment. We'll take a look at the local sports front here in just a moment. You know, you were speaking of Paul Goldschmidt. Look at that. All the way across the board.
He leads everything
on the team. 315, 29 homers, 98 RBIs, a 426 OBP, 141 hits. Leads this team in basically every major category. Phenomenal, right?
He's good.
He's a very good ball player. We're going to break for just a moment. More coming up here on Drive Time Sports when we return. KOL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss. It just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. So delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff at the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Emory Telecom's new e-fiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with e-fiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. We'll begin on the high school soccer field. And yesterday, the Emory Lady Spartans improved to 2-2 on the season as they earned a 3-1 victory over Beaver. Emory took control of the home contest early, grabbing a 2-1 lead going into the second half, and they scored one more goal for good measure to put the game away. Alexis Winter finished with 2 goals in the contest, while Josie Funk added one more for Emory. Tierra Goff scored the lone goal for Beaver. Now again, the win improves Emory to 2-2 on the season. They'll look to continue their winning ways tomorrow as they travel on the road to take on South Summit. Start time for this game is set for 4 p.m. Following tomorrow's game next week, the Lady Spartans will dive right in to league action as they take on North St. Pete. That'll be the Region 15 opener. And we stick with high school soccer, but we move over to Carbon High, where last night the Lady Dinos opened up a Region 14 play with a victory over the Union Cougars, 3-2 at home. The Lady Dinos got one goal from Ellie Codell, also one from Gracie Broadbear and Ryan Brady. Holding a 2-1 lead at the end of the first half, Carbon and Union played to a 1-1 tie in the second, which gave the Lady Dinos the 3-2 victory. Carbon has played great soccer so far this season. In 4 games, they've grabbed 2 wins, 1 tie, and 1 loss. They'll return to the soccer field tomorrow. They'll travel on the road to take on Providence Hall. That will be a Region 14 contest. It is scheduled to begin at 3:30 p.m. We stick with soccer, but we move over to the junior college ranks. And yesterday, the USU Eastern men's soccer squad suffered a 4-3 loss to Western Wyoming in the first game of the season. USU Eastern has played in exhibition contests, but yesterday's counted on the team's overall record. Tied 1-1 at the end of the first half, Western Wyoming scored 3 goals in the second, while USU Eastern scored just 2. As far as the game itself went, Jorge Quarza for USU Eastern scored a goal in the second half, while Luke Madsen scored 2, 1 in the first half and 1 in the second half. The USU Eastern Eagles men's squad will look to get back on the winning track when they return to the field on Friday. They travel to Colorado Mesa. The USU Eastern women's soccer squad will also return to the field this week. They, too, will travel to Colorado Mesa on Friday. Start time for that game is set for 6:30 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on both teams in the coming days. We move over to high school football, and yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Carbon Dino coach Josh Huntsman. Now, the Dinos opened up the season on Friday with a 21-14 loss to the Manti Templars. Despite the setback, there were plenty of positives for Carbon in this game, including a stellar performance from Colin Lewis on the defensive side of the ball. Lewis finished with 10 tackles, 2 sacks, had an interception return for a touchdown as well, while Nate Olson on the offensive side of the ball accumulated 101 yards and a touchdown. Yesterday on the show, Coach Huntsman said he was happy with the way his team performed.
It was a good ball game. We prepared well. Our kids did what they needed to do. We made a couple mistakes, and those mistakes cost us a football game. We thought we had prepared well enough, you know, and we knew that we were in shape. We knew that going into it, you know, we had a good game plan put together.
The Dinos will play host to the home opener this Friday against the Payson Lions. Coach Huntsman talked a little bit about this week's opponent.
Payson, they throw the ball a lot. They threw it about 65% of the time throughout the last year. They threw it quite a bit in their first game. Decent running attack. Quarterback has a decent arm. Throw a lot of short passes and just try to let the receivers make plays.
We'll have more on the Carbonetto football team later on in the week. And today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll talk Emory High School football with head coach John Famalo. You'll find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Polaris, Yamaha, Can-Am, Arctic Cat, or Kawasaki. It doesn't matter which side-by-side you think is the best. Bent Metal Off-Road is the best for custom outfitting of your machine. Go to BentMetalOffroad.com.
Hi, this is Mike, you know, Pat's boy, down at Jones Ace Hardware in Castledale. I'm here to help you tame the wild, otherwise known as your backyard. Put your hands on quality professional equipment from Husqvarna. Husqvarna has a full line of commercial and residential yard care equipment, including riding and walk behind mowers, trimmers, edgers, blowers, and chainsaws. We also have 0% financing available on approved credit. Come down and see me at Jones Ace Hardware, and I will help you get the Husqvarna to tame your wild into paradise.
You watch the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Time for some more high school football talk. Yesterday on the show, we focused on the Carbon Dinos. We had Coach Josh Huntsman on talking about Carbon's 21-14 loss. Today we're going to flip talk Emory High School. Now the Spartans will return to KOAL on Friday as they take on Summit Academy. But we are going to talk about the most recent loss and what lies ahead for this team, including on the injury front. Joining us right now over the phone, we have head coach John Famalo. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Definitely, definitely. Coach, we'll start by talking about Friday's contest. You guys fell to Richfield 21-14. It was a game, very entertaining game. I mean, back and forth, I'm sure, for everyone that was in attendance and those listening and watching. I mean, it was an entertaining contest. Unfortunately, you guys come out on the short end of the scoreboard in a game that was very winnable.
Yeah, I mean, we had plenty of opportunities. Like, just right before the half, like you and I talked, you know, we kind of blew an opportunity to take the lead before the half. And we put the ball on the ground 2 times, and you know, we only had 1 takeaway, and so you know that's the difference in the ball game. We fumble on there, our own 15, and you know we cough it up on a drive on about the 20-25 yard line, and you know I think we score there, and you know different ball game. So turnovers were a big factor, and you know a lot of mental mistakes and other things that we did that you know kind of cost us the game.
Turnovers obviously played a factor in the second half, but the offense seemed to get rolling in the second quarter. I mean, I thought the offense looked pretty good, and then the second half it was kind of a different game. Was that what you guys weren't doing, or was it more of what Richfield did as far as adjustments?
I think Richfield made some adjustments, and then, like I say, I think looking at the tape, you know, we just made some mistakes on some assignments that we had. You know, we look back at the tape, and there were some missed blocks that, you know, a certain formation, I felt like if we would have got the blocks that we needed inside and outside, it would have made a big difference on, you know, our third and fives, you know, and it made a big difference what I thought, just missed assignments. And, you know, they made a few adjustments, I thought, too.
If we talk about the offensive side of the ball, first varsity contest for Kyson Stilson as a starter. I thought Kyson was very efficient in this ball game. Did have the one interception, which really wasn't his fault when his arm was hit, if I remember correctly, but did lead this team down on a few really efficient drives. How did you assess the way Kyson played?
You know, I thought he played well. You know, I was encouraged by that, by his play. You know, he's a kid that, you know, he made a lot of plays with his legs, you know, and that's one thing I told, like, you know, our kids is that even with Kyson, you know, he's a playmaker, but we need to be an efficient playmaker, an effective playmaker, and that, you know, we need to be efficient in our offense. But he made some plays that, you know, wouldn't normally get done with a different quarterback, and, you know, that was nice to see from him.
Richfield definitely brought the pressure. I had four sacks down on my final stat total. How did you assess the play of the offensive line?
You know, looking back at the tape, I thought they did a pretty good job. There's a couple times those sacks, you know, I'll put on the line, but for the most part, that's, you know, I'm going to go to my receivers and to Kyson. You know, he's got to get the ball out of his hands, you know, and that's that playmaker in his mindset is, you know, he wants to extend the play and try to make a play, but, you know, you got to know when to cut your losses and get the ball out of your hands and take what you get. And, you know, there was a couple times, you know, I put that on him of holding the ball a little too long.
Ideally for you with this new offense, that internal clock in his head, how long do you want him to hold that ball before he gets it out? I mean, ideally, is there a specific time that he needs to sit in the pocket and get rid of the ball?
Oh, it's for us, it's 3 seconds. I mean, anything 3 seconds or less, that's, you know, that's our offense. You know, we're not a professional team that we can throw deep balls and, you know, hold it back there. And, you know, that's what Kyson does. He creates more time for himself, but ideally we want the ball out of his hands within 3 seconds.
If we go back to the final drive, you guys were able to move the sticks. Fourth down, Kyson rolls out to the left side. It would have been close. I think he probably could have gotten the first down with his feet, but when you look back at the read for him to try to go over the top of the defense to Easton was definitely open. Did you like that particular decision from Kyson?
I did. Honestly, I mean, that was, he runs the ball, he doesn't get out of bounds, you know, there's more time that's off the clock, and there was under a minute left at that point, so we probably, you know, could have got a few more plays, but, you know, I like him taking that shot over the top. It was a design play, you know, he created a little bit of time, and, you know, he makes that catch, he's a hero, you take that with a grain of salt for the fact that I didn't mind him throwing that ball at that time in the game.
No, I thought it was the right read. We talked about that in the broadcast booth. I mean, I thought it was the right read, especially considering the accuracy that Kyson had played with throughout the entire night. And we're talking about inches away from Easton coming up with that ball.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. You know, and there's a few plays you saw a kid just barely get a hand on a ball that, you know, we would have had another big play. And, you know, for the most part, I thought he threw the ball well. I don't know what his final stats were, 17-26, something like that. But pretty good numbers. But, again, that's their high-percentage throw. That's what we try to throw.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team. Defensively, you and I had talked, you wanted to be more of a, well, you thought that this team would have an offensive identity. Even though in our conversations off of the cuff where there were some mistakes defensively, Coach, if you hold a team to 21 points, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Well, I mean, that's a little more than we want to give up, honestly. I mean, I think we need to hold teams to 2 touchdowns or less. I mean, especially if we ball control. And so, I mean, there was some breakdowns, but, you know, and I think on the defensive side, what was the discouraging part was we just were tired. And not that it was discouraging, it was just, you know, we had some kids that were tired and weren't getting off the ball, especially on the defensive line. And, you know, the Hafen kid, he gets outside the pocket, he's a dangerous kid, and that's one thing we talked about. And that's when he got out of the pocket, he created things or he was moving with his legs. And, you know, that's where they got the big plays that, you know, we struggled a little bit.
You talk about Emmett Hafen, again, a fantastic quarterback. This weekend, you guys are going to go up against another very good quarterback and a very good team in Summit Academy. A lot of people have pegged them to be one of the front runners as far as the 3A classification goes. But, I mean, again, Hayden Reynolds can throw the football. He can sling it around. So right out of the gate, you guys are seeing some very good quarterback play.
Yeah, I that is. I mean, he's an excellent quarterback, a dual threat kid that, you know, not only can run the ball, but he can throw the ball. And, you know, those are the toughest guys to defend. You know, I'd rather have a guy that sits in the pocket or they run the ball, one or the other. But with a quarterback that's a dual threat, you know, we got to have our ducks in a row. You know, we got to make sure we're on top of things. You know, he threw three picks, and so he's going to throw the ball up. And so we just got to be opportunistic when it is up in the air, and, you know, try to get some picks, and then hopefully can put some points on the board with it.
Yeah, it was a frustrating game last year against Summit Academy because I thought you guys outplayed Summit Academy throughout certain quarters in this contest. Unfortunately, the offense just never got moving. How similar is this year's Summit Academy team to what we saw last year?
I think they're probably a lot more physical up front than they were last year. I think that's the difference when I look at Tay from last year to this year is, you know, they've got a few big horses and, you know, their skill guys are a little bit better than they were last year. You know, they've got about two or three kids that can really move and catch the ball. And, you know, that's what we're up against. They're a really good team, but, you know, I think our kids are going to put their best foot forward, and I think we're going to be pretty competitive in this matchup.
Now, I've loved the series with Summit Academy over the last, what, 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's always an entertaining game, regardless of the final score. There's always been some entertaining aspects when you two have shared the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's been back and forth. I think at each place, we've, you know, I think it's been back and forth. They won at their home, and, you know, we won at our home, and we'd like to keep it that way. But, you know, we know we're fighting an uphill battle against them, and we're going to do our best to see what we can do to come out on top.
Now that you have one game under your belt, Coach, what was practice like this week? Was it any different than it had been, you know, going into the season? Did you notice any changes, any urgency? I mean, anything at all from your team?
You know, I think, if anything, we have a little bit more focus. I mean, watching the film and seeing the kids, you know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. And you know, when they saw them, you know, taking off a few plays, you know, on certain areas, I think they realized, oh, hey, you know what, I got to be a lot better, or I got to get myself on the field and get somebody in that can be a lot better when I am tired. And so I think that aspect of it for the kids seeing, you know, the film doesn't lie as to what happens and missed assignments and, you know, taking off plays. And so that was a good thing for the kids to see. And, you know, I think they focused up for the fact that, okay, hey, you know, we can't take plays off. We're not that good.
Well, and you know, one of the things for me, it's easy to study this team as far as names and numbers go this year because you don't have a whole lot of varsity players, which is bad news for you because that means you got a lot of kids playing both ways. Did you notice fatigue late in this game against Richfield?
We did about the midway through the third quarter, into the fourth. I mean, especially our defensive line, offensive line, and you know that they started getting tired. Our safety started getting a little bit tired because they were getting run a little bit ragged. And you know, first thing that goes when you get tired is fundamentals and you know, just thinking. You know, you kind of just get through the motions, and you know, that's kind of where our breakdowns, I thought, happened was fatigue. You know, kids just started taking plays off, and again, our fundamentals broke down, and you know, we started giving up a few more plays.
If I remember right, Coach, one of the scoring drives in the game against Richfield was roughly 6 or 7 minutes, if I remember right. I mean, when you have a lack of depth, when you have a lack of numbers, that's key, right, to play ball control and finish off drives that are lengthy, 6, 7 minutes?
That is. I mean, that's our recipe for success this year. I mean, honestly, I think we probably did ball control, maybe not so much the second half. I think the first half we did, and it's probably about 50-50 the second half, you know, and that's what we need. We need long, drawn-out drives and, you know, make them play on the defensive side and then, you know, try to get ourselves off the field and ball control and keep the ball in our hands as much as we can.
What was the best aspect from your team this past Friday?
I was really happy offensively. You know, I thought our line did well. I thought we ran the ball well. Rance ran the ball well. I thought we threw well. You know, I was really happy because I was really apprehensive as to, you know, with this new offense, what are we going to get? You know, and that's where I was probably more pleased than anything with the offensive side. And defensively, and you know, we got some work to do still.
Well, Summit Academy is a team, I think they threw the ball 35, 40 times this past Friday against Union. Probably going to get somewhat similar in that regard. And you do have a quarterback playing both ways around the outside. Does that change your coaching at all this week, knowing that your probably secondary is going to get a lot more work downfield than they did against Richfield?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, I think if we can get a little bit of pressure on them, keep them inside the pocket, you know, hopefully our coverages are not as far down the field, and you know, we can kind of keep things in front and keep fresh. But if we're chasing guys all over the field, we're going to have a long night. And so, again, keeping fresh, especially on the edges, is going to help, and getting a little bit of pressure on them, you know, that always helps, too.
Coach, it is always fun to talk with you. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck on Friday. We'll see you at the game.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, Coach John Fumalo taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. Friday, we'll be live at 6:30 p.m. You will be able to listen to the game right here on KOAL, or you can stream it at CastleCountryRadio.com. We've got a break for just a moment. Plenty of headlines circulating in the national sports scene. Today was the final pre-fight press conference for Mayweather-McGregor. Also, we had a massive NBA trade go down last night. Kyrie Irving, now a member of the Boston Celtics, and also, we got to start talking some college football. That's all straight ahead here on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
Lamar Odom, want to say what's up to Drape Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Bryant to Odom, Odom, oh, throws it down, and a foul!
We're back on Drape Time Sports. We have to talk about the trade that did go down yesterday. Kyrie Irving, he's now a member of the Boston Celtics. What's 2K going to do? Kyrie's on the cover of 2K wearing a Cavaliers uniform.
Yeah, they said they're going to ship those.
With him in a Cavalier uniform?
Yep.
What?
If you go back to like the last 2K cover up was Paul George. Like,
it was Paul George last year.
And Kevin Durant.
Year before was Kevin Durant. No, I'm wrong on that. The year before was a trio of Steph Curry, James Harden, and Anthony Davis. The year before that, it was Kevin Durant.
So yeah, everybody on that cover is getting traded, basically.
Interesting. Very interesting. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the way this deal actually went down. First off, on paper, you look at it as Kyrie for Isaiah Thomas. Now, if that's the case, there's no question in my mind Boston wins this hands down. But it's everything else that Danny Ainge gave up. Having to give up Jay Crowder. And I don't care that he gave up Jay Crowder. I do care that Avery Bradley is gone as well. Because, again, that's that toughness of that squad. I mean, we're talking about two great perimeter defenders. Avery Bradley was the picture-perfect player for the mentality that Boston took on last year. Then you have Jay Crowder, terrific defender. I worry about that for Boston. If they didn't move Avery Bradley, which they had to get Gordon Hayward, I understand that. But boy, it would sure be nice if you had one of those two guys on this team. The number one pick, and Zizek to me is a 20-year-old center. Summer league numbers were blah. Cleveland needs depth up front, big time. That front court badly needs some sort of depth because they went through Larry Sanders. They went through Adai Tavares. They went through Andrew Bogut.
Derek Williams.
They've gone through a lot of bigs, so they need something. I don't know that Zizek is that guy, but the number one pick, which right now it looks like Michael Porter, the kid from Missouri, is going to be a lock at the number one pick. That's the key to this. Now, here's the problem I guess I have for Boston. Again, I agree with you, Travis. I think they get the best player in the deal. There's no doubt in my mind. They get the best player in this trade. But Danny Ainge was at the center of criticism for not making a move for a marquee player. Remember in the trade with Garnett and Paul Pierce going to Brooklyn, he got a ton of draft picks, a ton of young players, perfect opportunity for him to grab a superstar that was demanding a trade. And that's what he did, and he got Kyrie Irving. But the price for this trade seems astronomical considering what the likes of OKC gave up to get Paul George, what Minnesota gave up to get Jimmy Butler, what New Orleans gave up to get DeMarcus Cousins. You look at those deals, and you look at what Danny Ainge gave up to get Kyrie Irving, and the only question I have is why? Is it a preference for Brad Stevens? Because, again, we talked about Boston getting out in transition, and I think that Kyrie with Gordon Hayward is a perfect match. Remember, Kyrie was actually recruiting Gordon Hayward back in, like, what, 2013, 2014? He was trying to recruit Gordon Hayward. And then there was the rumor that sparked this past offseason that Utah may actually have some sort of interest in Kyrie Irving, and I don't know how much truth there was to that potential deal. But I started thinking about the idea of Hayward and Kyrie Irving playing together. Now we're going to get to see it. But when you look at the interest that the Celtics had in Cousins and what Sacramento got in return for Cousins, and again, Butler and Paul George, why this deal? Why now? Why was Danny Ainge so hell-bent on hanging on to assets for the likes of a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George? And I love Jimmy Butler. I'm a huge Jimmy Butler fan. One of the best lockdown perimeter defenders in the league. The glue that held Chicago together over the past three or four seasons. I love that guy. Why now? Why Kyrie Irving? And why did you make this trade with a team that you legitimately need to fear to get to the NBA Finals, considering you're in the same conference, and it's so top-heavy in the conference? You have two teams at the very top, and you have a bunch of meddling pretenders after number two. Why this deal?
Yeah, Boston sets themselves up nicely with the foundation for the future. Kyrie Irving's 25 years old. Gordon Hayward's 27 years old. And moving forward, you can't pay a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who's going to turn 30 years old, who has a bad hip, who's going to want $200 million. You can't do that. So there comes a point where you can't hold on to your assets for so long. You have to move those assets.
But, finally, why now?
I think it just makes sense that for Kyrie Irving, he was, what, top 3-point guard in the league?
I would agree with that.
So you get a top 3-point guard in the league to go with Gordon Hayward.
Top 3, top 4, yeah.
And moving forward, they're going to have cap space. There's still a chance that maybe, I know they're hell-bent on trying to get Anthony Davis. Somehow, some way, they're going to try to get Anthony Davis if they can. I just think now makes, I think it's perfect timing. Do it before the season starts. Then you know what you're going to get out of Kyrie Irving, an all-star who's top 3 behind John Wall, Russell Westbrook. I mean, there's Steph Curry, so there's your point guards. I just think it makes perfect sense now because you get him in the system now, you get him in before training camp, and you're setting yourself up, maybe not for this year, but next year the Boston Celtics are probably that team that's going to come out of the East.
Well, I think they could come out of the East this year.
I think so, too. I just don't know if it's all going to click this year, but next year, definitely.
So you give up 3-for-1 plus you throw in a pick. Boston, I don't think they're finished yet.
No.
I don't think they're finished yet, and I think that is part of the reason why you give up Jay Crowder. Boston has 14 players signed to guaranteed contracts following this deal. They still have some draft picks. They have the 2018 pick from the Lakers. They still have that pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They have the 2019 pick from Sacramento, and a 2019 from the Clippers, and a 2019 from Memphis. The Lakers, okay, this is where I'm wrong. That 2018 pick from the Lakers, it's top three guaranteed. Right?
Top three, yeah.
Okay. Top three protected, I should say. Or 2019 from Sacramento. That's the deal that they have. 2019 from the Clippers. 2019 from Memphis. They still have several picks that they can trade. They still have a couple of roster spots. And by giving up three players, salary had to match somehow. And again, Isaiah Thomas was only on pace to make like $7 million next season. There's just so many rolls of the dice this offseason for Boston. And again, I'm not disagreeing with you on them getting the best player in this deal. But at the end of the day, when you look back on this particular offseason for the Celtics, did they do the right thing in passing on Markelle Fultz? Don't forget about that.
Yeah, I think they did.
They get Jason Tatum. You pass on Markelle Fultz.
And if the Celtics somehow, some way make the NBA Finals, we'll say this year, Jason Tatum will be their best player in the Finals.
Really?
I think Jason Tatum will be their best player. That's how high I am on him. I think he could be their best player.
Better than Kyrie or Gordon Hayward?
I think so.
Oh, man. Look, you're not going to the Finals if he's your best player. You're not getting there. Not when you're paying a guy $128 million and another guy's on tap for basically a max contract.
Yeah, Jason, I'm high on Jason
Tatum. I know you like him, but...
He's going to be special.
If he is their best player, they'll win an NBA championship. Let me put it that way. If Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving become your second and third best options...
Yeah.
You're probably going to win an NBA championship. But let me make this perfectly clear. I don't believe either of these teams are better than Golden State still.
No, Golden State would beat both those teams in four games.
Now let's talk about LeBron James. This guy's got to be happy, right?
He should be.
Because they get rid of Kyrie. They do address a lot of concerns. And again, Jay Crowder, he's a 3-and-D wing. And the Cavs have needed that for a very long time. J.R. Smith and Shumpert, they lack that role. You go out and you get Jeff Green. He's shown flashes, but he's older, had some injuries. And I said this at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to go back to it. If you're a Cleveland fan, you're thrilled about this because LeBron James gets someone that he can switch on with pick and rolls, and he gets someone who will guard the best player offensively on the opposing team. And that will do wonders for a quote-unquote aging LeBron. He doesn't have to use up all of his fuel on the defensive end, and he has been gassed in the past couple of NBA Finals. And that's a problem in Cleveland. So I think Kobe Altman knocks this out of the park. And let's not forget, if LeBron does leave at the end of the season, which I don't think he does now, as it sits right now, I think this team's in better shape. They have the number one, what I believe will probably be the number one overall pick. Brooklyn's going to finish bottom three, bottom four, when it's all said and done. So you have a pick that's going to be extremely high and a very talented draft class coming in. You can float that out. You've mentioned DeMarcus Cousins. I know some other movement would have to be made. I think teams will be more prone to take on J.R. Smith's contract if it means they're going to get a top three pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Some of the bottom feeders are more prone to do that. So
another deep draft.
Cleveland has set themselves up really extremely well, and I think Kobe Altman was forced to do this considering the mess that Cleveland was in post-LeBron James the first time he left.
Yeah, and for Cleveland, though, still, though, defensively, they're still terrible. And they gotta somehow fix that problem.
I don't think they're terrible anymore. I don't, because...
Adding Crowder helps, I still
it helps
think,
a ton.
I mean, Isaiah Thomas is probably the worst defender in the league.
He's not very good. But, look, Kyrie's not a great defender either.
No, but he's better than Isaiah. Curry, if it's Cleveland-Golden State again...
Nobody's better than Golden State right now.
Yeah.
Nobody made any moves in the offseason. Teams got better... But nobody got that much better.
Yeah, and Cleveland's problem last year wasn't offense, it was defense.
Right. We've got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back. We'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead with Castle Valley Orthodontics. I recently took over Dr. Broadwater's orthodontic practice here in Price. I'm excited to work with the patients and community here in Carbon and Emery County. We provide orthodontic treatment for children, teenagers, and adults, and also offer Invisalign, the clear alternative to braces. My passion is creating beautiful smiles one person at a time. Call us today for your free smile assessment at 637-2222.
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today at TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
Supreme Muffler and Brake. Get your car ready with a full checkup at the Car Care Center. Supreme Muffler and Brake for everything under your car. Transmission Express for everything in the driveline. And Ultraloop for maintaining your car or truck. It pays to take care of your vehicle. Take it in for a complete checkup now at the Car Care Center in Price. Transmission Express, Ultraloop, and Supreme Muffler and Brake.
Supreme Muffler and Brake. We know what it takes to get the job done right.
Okay, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM, KOAL.
Still don't have enough time to talk college football. It's been packed this week with story after story. Thanks, NBA. Are you ready for college football?
I am ready.
I got some exciting news. We'll have NFL football for you this year on KOAL as well.
That's awesome.
How about that?
It's exciting.
Thursday night games. Coming up this season here on KOAL. As far as college football goes, next Thursday we'll get the Utah Utes. Tyler Huntley named the starting quarterback earlier on in the week. We did talk a little bit about that. Paid attention to the Utes this offseason at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Me and Carter broke it down last week about the Utes.
Look, defensively, this team's going to be pretty good, I think, up front. Non-conference road games. BYU.
Tough game.
You get 4 of the toughest teams from the north as far as your conference goes. Stanford, Oregon, Washington State, Washington. It's pretty difficult. You know, you're gonna get USC as well. Pretty difficult schedule, right?
Pretty difficult.
Whittingham has earned the benefit of the doubt over the last couple of years. I remember like 2 months ago we were going over the FPI ratings, and remember they basically pegged the Utes as the underdog in all but 3 games this season.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
No.
But as far as the Pac-12 goes front to back this season, is there any reason for me not to think that the Pac-12 championship will be USC and Washington?
No. Those are your 2 best teams.
Last time USC was ranked this high, but you're a USC guy, so I want your opinion on this. I'm going to talk to you about USC here for a moment.
So we got to go back to what, 2009?
No, I want to go back to last season.
All right.
I want to go back to last season. Week 3, possibly week 4, and if I went through the archives, I would be able to find it. You and Steve Bordstein, who's a great friend of the show, you both are diehard USC fans, and you both were calling for Clay Helton's head after week 3 last year. What has changed with this program? I'm not holding it against you,
no,
guys.
No, Sam Darnold changed.
I'm not saying that you guys have to have accountability for that. What I'm saying is, it really that simple, Sam Darnold? At the end of the day, the reason why USC got blown out by Alabama, the reason they suffered a loss was at Stanford, right? They lost pretty handily to Stanford at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You're saying the reason they lost those games handedly was because of Sam Darnold?
Clay,
not underneath center?
Clay Helton adjusted as a coach. He finally figured it out, and that Utah game is the one where I was claiming he should be fired because he mishandled that game badly. Fourth quarter let down again. And it's kind of just after that he inserted Sam Darnold and they went on a win streak. And I think Clay Helton as a coach grew and he adjusted and he figured out how to become a very good coach in this league.
Is he an elite coach?
I don't think he's an elite coach, but he's a very good coach.
Okay, so if Clay Helton, considering that this guy was on the hottest seat in the country last year, and I believe the coach on the hottest seat this year outside of Brian Kelly would be Jim Mora.
Yes.
I think those two are on the hottest seats going into the season. But if USC, the last time they were ranked in the top 4 was 2008, 2009?
2019, I think.
Somewhere. They didn't even finish ranked at the end of the season.
No, they collapsed.
They were not good. If that was to happen to Clay Helton this year, would you call for his head? because USC fans wanted this guy out following week three last year. If that was to happen this season, regardless of what happens with Darnold, I don't care. He's a top five prospect in the NFL draft. He was awesome in the Rose Bowl. But if they suffered a collapse like that, would you want Clay Helton out?
I probably think you'd have to fire him.
Really?
I think you would, because there's so much talent there this year that this team has to win this year. They have to. They have to make the playoff this year.
I don't think there's that much talent.
But you're not going to get. You're not going to bring in anybody better. I mean,
well, that matters too.
Yeah.
Talent wise, I'd look. Ronald Jones is a stud.
He's probably the second best running back in the country.
Yeah. Okay. You could probably make that argument. I don't know how good they're going to be defensively. They're rising. I get that. There's hope. I know they're elite offensively. See, on the flip side of that, I know Washington's elite defensively.
Yeah.
Because they're bringing back four out of their top five tacklers from last season. I think it's USC and Washington. I'm just saying the Clay Helton bandwagon. And I bring this up. I directly correlate this to Utah because I said, look, Kyle Whittingham, if the Utes were to go 5-7 this year, he's earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
It's okay. The Utes have overperformed over the last three seasons. Does Clay Helton have that leash?
I don't think he does.
Current athletic director did not hire Clay Helton, right?
No, he did not. And that's the thing. And they don't have a bye week until they get, to the Pac-12 championship. And that's the thing. That's what I'm interested to see, how he adjusts with no bye week.
Their schedule's not easy.
It's not easy. And by that UCLA game, this team could be gassed. And that's a game they might drop.
No. Now, that's a team that will be, that's a school that will be looking for a new football coach next season. If you waste, I can see, look, Sam Darnold's going pro at the end of the year. And you didn't have him for a full season last year. Jim Mora is in the process of wasting 3 years of Josh Rosen. Wasting 3 years. Clay Helton didn't get two full seasons of Sam Darnold. Jim Mora is going into his third season with Josh Rosen and has done absolutely nothing with him. That's a problem.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
He's gone at the end of the year. He has to be gone.
I would think so, too. It's a fun storyline. USC is going to be a fun storyline. The Pac-12 is always a fun storyline. Out of time on the show today. Definitely have to thank Coach John Famalo for taking out the time to join us. We will be back again tomorrow to do it all over. We'll talk much more college football tomorrow. Much, much, much more. Because we have an open schedule as of right now. No guests are scheduled for tomorrow's show. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. We are out.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community,